Today's shiur is a Masech the Nazir on Daf Nun Beis. We will begin on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Amud, with the last word on the line, Boi Rava. In yesterday's shiur, we learned about a living person, Shenechzer Loi Eiver, that he was missing a limb. And in that regard, Rava is going to ask a similar question concerning a Nemola, an ant that is missing a limb. Boy, Rava. Rava had the following question. Nemola shechasra mahu. What is the halacha concerning the iser of a person eating an ant and it is missing a limb? As Tosfos points out, the Gemara's question here, Rava's question, is based on a Mishnah in Makkos, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah states, "Ha'oichel nemola chayiv aleha b'chol shehu, afal pi she'ein bo kezayis," that if someone eats an ant, he is chayiv even for a small amount, and the small amount means that even though it's less than the regular shear that a person has to eat in order to be chayiv malchus, if he eats a nemola, there's a halacha l'moishu mesinai that since a nemola is a complete entity, it's a beria. By the fact that it's a beria, one can eat a kolshu even less than a kezayis, and one will be chayiv malchus. And Rava's question is, as Tosfos goes on to explain, Maboyele, two lines from the bottom of the Yomud in the Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil, Nemola, the question of the Rava is, Imniktitsu ragleha, she'adayin hi yichoyle lachyos, it can still live without its feet, and the feet were cut off. Va'adayin shem beriyole, it still has the name of being a creation, because it can still live. So Rava has a question, will the person be chayiv malchus or not? What is the question? Shiura gamirin la v'hochaser. As the Rush explains, five lines in the right-hand column from the bottom of the Amud, Beri yishlema oimedes adayin b'makam shir. As the Rush understands it, this beria is a substitute shir. Regularly, the Torah requires a kezayis. Here, instead of a kezayis, the Torah said that if it's a complete entity, a complete living being, then even if it's less than a kezayis. But what is the shear? The shear is the entire entity of the beria. And just like if one would have, the Rush points out, if we have, as we're going to see later in today's Gemara, a shear of kadasha like a lentil. If one were to have less than a lentil, then the dine tumah would not apply. So the same thing here. If you have less than the shear of a beria, the halachas don't apply. He's not chayiv malchus for eating less than the shear of a beria, even though it's living. So do I say shiura gamirin law v'hochaser, that beria is a substitute shear for a kezayis, and just if you have less than a kezayis or less than a kadosha, the dine Torah don't apply. So here too, you have something less. He's missing a leg. It can live, but he's still missing the shear. Oi, or the other side of the chakir is beria gamir law, that the Torah, when it gave a beria, it didn't mean to give a new shear. The Torah meant to say, if you're eating, if you're digesting something that's living, then you're chayiv malchus. So if it's living, if it can live even without the leg, even though it's less than the normal beria, it would still be called a beria, because beria is not a shear. Beria is a new halacha, which tells us that any time you swallow a living being, one is chayiv. So then, vo'ikah, you do have a beria because it can live. The Karen Ira points out that if we look at the last line of the Mefarish on this Amid, the Mefarish says, five lines before the end, Deha'ikah beria v'amrinin ruboy kekuloi. And the Karen Ira points out that it seems that the Mefarish was learning the sugya here different than the Rush and Tosfos. And he was learning that even if it's something where haneshama tuliyah boy, even if the nemola was missing an aver without which it could not survive, but since roiv of the nemola is here, it should be considered rubi kekuloi, that the whole nemola is here. If we don't say it's a shear, if we say that the concept is a beria, perhaps rubi kekuloi would help to consider it a beria, even though it can't survive without that particular limb. And the Keren Ayra goes on to explain how the Mefarish understands the whole sugya. We will go like the Pashtus of the sugya according to Tosfos and the Rosh, that we are in fact speaking about that the Nemol is missing an Aver Shein on the Neshama Tulibay, that it could survive without the Aver. As we find in Tosfos on Dafnun Beis Amud Aleph, Divrei HaMaskil Toshima, seven lines down, where Tosfos explains, Hainu im raglav v'karnav, that what we are discussing here are the feet or the antennas of the insect without which it can survive. So that is how Tosfos and the Rosh understand the sugya. Now we continue the Gemara and Daf, Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Yehuda Midiskarta. So Rav Yehuda from Diskarta, from that place, wanted to bring a proof, an answer to Ravash Shaila. Toshima, come in here. We have a contradiction between two psukim. As Tosfos points out, these are two psukim concerning the Tumas Nevela of the Shmoyne Shrutzim, that there are eight specific Shrutzim whereby their Nevela, the dead carcass of these Shrutzim, convey Tumah. And we have two contradictory psukim. The first pasuk is in Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Lamed Aleph, where the Torah states, Eila hatmeim lachem b'chol hasheretz. These are the ones that are tummy to you from all the shrutzim. Kol hanegeya bohem b'moysam yitmar arv. Whoever touches one of these eight shrutzim will be tummy until the evening. And here the Torah uses a word of bohem. The second pasuk is in Vayikra Yud Aleph, the next pasuk, Lamed Beis. V'choyel asher yipol olav mehem b'moysam yitma. If the shrutzim fall on something and touch something, those things will become tamei. So here the Torah uses the language not of bohem, as in the previous pasuk, but of mehem. Let us see the Gemara inside. Tashma, the first pasuk said bohem. Bohem yachol b'kulam. So bohem seems to mean you have to touch it, be metame to the sheretz in its entirety. Then the Gemara says, yachol bekulon. Is it so in fact that from bohem we are learning out that you have to touch the entire sheretz and the sheretz cannot be missing any part of it itself? Talmud loimer mehem. So we have the pasuk lamed beis in that Perek Yud Aleph, which states, mayhem from them, which would seem that even if you are missing something of the sheretz, the person who's touching it would still become tummy. E mayhem, if I have the pasuk that says mayhem, yachol mitzas, and I would think that even if you're touching part of it, the person becomes tummy. Talmud Loimer, the previous pasuk said bohem. And therefore, what the Gemara is actually asking is a contradiction. How do I reconcile these two psukim? From the first pasuk, it would seem mayhem, bohem rather, that you have to touch the entire sheretz. It cannot be missing anything. It has to be a total beria, not missing any limb whatsoever. And from the second pasuk, it would seem mayhem, that even if it is missing something, like in Tosfos and the Rosh Hashitah, it's missing the antennas, or it's missing feet without which it can survive, that the person is also tamei. So what is correct? Haketzad. How do we reconcile these two psukim? The answer is, atche yiga b'miktsas and shehu b'kulon. What the Torah is trying to convey, that ain't a chanami, a miktsas is enough to be matame. But it has to be a choshev a miktsas, an important miktsas, which that miktsas is so important, that kikulon, that it's considered as if you have the entire thing here. V'shiaru chachamim, and the chachamim gave a specific amount to how much of the sheretz has to be here in order to convey tuma, and that is bekadasha, that's the shear of a lentil. Where do we get the shear of a lentil? Shekein hachomet. For we find that the chomet, which Rashi in Chagiga Daf Yud Aleph tells us is a snail, or others learn it's a kind of a lizard, tchilas b'riyasai, when it is first created, bikadasha, it's as big as a kadasha, or rather, it's as small as a kadasha. So the Chachamim said that if I find one of the Shmoneh Shrutzim, when it first comes into the world, is the size of a lentil, therefore, that size by any of the Shmoneh Shrutzim is enough to convey tuma. Shema mina, from here we learn, shiura gemiri la. As Tosfos and the Rosh explain, if I were to say that it is possible to have less than a kadasha, less than a lentil, that if the choymet had its aver cut off, that also would convey tumah. So why do I learn out that it has to be as big as a kadasha from a choymet who is created being the size of a lentil? But if the halacha is that it's still considered a beria, if it's missing a leg or an antenna, it still maintains the shame of beria, and there's no shear, then I should be able to learn out from chaymet itself that as long as it's a beria, even if it's missing a leg, that also should be enough in all the shmoneh shrutzim to convey tumah. And since I say that the minimum shear is a kadasha, that's a proof that the halacha of beria that I'm learning out from the chomet, from the size of the chomet, is precisely the shear of kadasha and not a mashahu less than a kadasha. Why? Because kadasha becomes the new shear of a beria concerning this halacha of conveying tumah from the shmoneh shrutzim. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Rav Shmaya, ki bein in shiura, when do I require, you're right, the chaymet is kadasha, and not less than a kadasha, but when do I need that shiur of kadasha, the bidaloi havi kadasha loy metame, that if it would be less than a kadasha, it would not be metame, that's the loy nafla ban neshama. That is when you're speaking about the chaymet itself, where if it would be less than a kadasha, as Tosfos says in the top Tosfos Toshima, approximately seven lines from the end of the Tosfos, kagon chaymet she'im nifchas ma'at chila oz vaday ein lanu lachshivay beri bepachas hoyol ula oylam layipu by nishmas chayim bepachas mikan. In other words, what you're learning out from the chaymet has to be kadasha, because a chaymet itself, even if it's missing a leg or it's missing an antenna, it's missing any insignificant part, it can't survive in the world if it comes into the world smaller, even a mashu, than a kadasha. So from the chaymet, who initially only gets its nishmas chayim, it's Ruach Chaim, if it's a total Kadasha, Eina Chanami, that can't be less. But, Avon continues the Gemara, Naflaba Neshama. But if we're talking about a larger Sheretz, let's say a Namola, like our Shiloh here in the Gemara by Namola, that is bigger than a Kadasha. And here, Loi, Avon Naflaba Neshama Loi, could be that there, even if it's missing an Aver, which still allows it to live, perhaps it does have a shame barrier. It's different than the chaymet that without the leg cannot survive. But here by the ant, without the leg, since it's bigger than the size of a kadasha, it's just missing a leg, perhaps there is no halach of shear. Barrier is not a shear like we wanted to say, that less than the full size of the ant, if it's missing one aver, that's no longer a barrier because it's missing the shear barrier. No, a barrier is a new halacha that I have a living being. And since an ant, which got its neshama ready, by losing a leg will not lose that neshama, perhaps that suffices for it to be called barrier. The Iker criteria is the life of this creature, and I still have the life, and therefore tiboyalach, as the Mefarish over here explains, va'akati tiboyalach. You could still have your original question. It's no raya from chaymet, because chaymet, when it loses a leg, it's not just that it's smaller than a kadasha, but in fact, in that particular case, has no life. But in the case of an amola without the leg, it does have a life, and therefore perhaps it is still called a beria, and one would get malchus for eating less than the regular size of an ant, even if it's missing a leg. Now, since the Gemara remains with a question, therefore, the Mephorshim explained that malchus would not be possible, because we cannot give malchus misafik. The Karen Ira brings down the Ran and the Rush in Chulin in Per Gid Anasha that say that we have halacha because of the cheshivas of Beria, that Beria midrabbanan is a filo be'alafloy batel, since it's a davar chashiv, an entire creature, if it falls into something, it will not become batel, as other things are batel b'shishim. We will not say that by our Beria. But in the case where we have here of an amola that's missing a leg, and it still is able to live, where the Gemara has a shaila, so if that fell into a taruvis, say to Ran and the Russian Paragid Anashadeinichanami there, since the whole din of Beria that it's a filibalfli bottle is only a din de Rabbanan, and you have a suffix here, therefore suffix de Rabbanan Lakula, and therefore there will not be any Malkus, this item will be considered bottle in the Taruvis, and we will not say the din de Rabbanan of a filibalfli bottle in such a case. Continues the Gemara, Hashedra Val Gilgoylis. The Gemara is now going back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, on Daf Mem Tesamid Beis, that a Nazir is Tomei, and he's Mechuyiv to be Megaleach, and all the halachas of a Nazir Tomei, if he was in the same oil as a Shedra and a Gilgoylis. He was under the same roof as a spine and a head. So the real lashon of correct lashon that we have in our Mishnah, a Mem Tesamid Beis, is al hashedra the al hagilgoylus. It's noteworthy to point out that here in the Divrei HaMaschil in the Gemara before the Shiloh that we're going to have, the Gemara here changes the lashon from our Mishnah, and not the al hashedra v'al hagulgoylus, but hashedra v'hagulgoylus. And actually, this lashon of hashedra v'hagulgoylus, the spine and the head, is the lashon, as Tosfos brings down, in a Mishnah in Olos, Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. And Tosfos says that the Gemara's question that we're going to have on our Mishnah likewise could be asked on the Mishnah in Masechta Olos. What is the question of our Gemara? Boilu shedra v'gilgoylisnan? Is it a spine and a head? Oy dilma, oy shedra, oy gilgoylis? Or is it tumah that's coming either from the shedra or from the gilgoylis? What the Gemara's question is what is the vav of the hagulgoylus? We know the vav can mean and, or the vav can mean or. So what does the Mishnah mean? Does the Mishnah mean and, or does it mean or? Do you need both? And only then the Nazir would be Megaleach. Only then would he become Tomei and require Giluach and the other procedures of a Nazir Tomei. Or no, either coming in contact with a Shedra or with a gulgoylus. Now the Rabbeinu Peretz points out that if you have the girsa like our Mishnah, which we mentioned before, al hashedra v'al hagulgoylus, that would clearly indicate that it's oy, either the shedra or the gulgoylus. It's not both, because if it would mean both, you wouldn't put in the second v'al. You would say al hashedra v'hagulgoylus if it's connected together. So, the Rabbeinu Peretz says that maybe what the Gemara is trying to say here is that the correct girsa in our Mishnah should really be Hashedra v'Hagulgoylus, like the Mishnah in Olos, and like, as we pointed out, the Divrei HaMaschil of this whole sugya, the beginning words, which doesn't quote the Mishnah precisely. And the Gemara here says Hashedra v'Hagulgoylus. So that's good for what the Gemara means to ask. Iboilu Shedra v'Hagulgoylus Tnan, that the correct girsa in our Mishnah should be like the Mishnah in Olos, that it's the Shedra and the Gulgoylus. Oy Dilmor, maybe the correct girsa is the one that we have. We should leave it, or we should explain, if the girsa is shedra v'gulgoylus, it means, or perhaps we should leave the girsa the way we have it in our Mishnah, al hashedra v'al hagulgoylus. That is one way that the Rabbeinu Peretz learns. Or, the Rabbeinu Peretz says, the Gemara's question here is, what is the right girsa? Is the right girsa like the Mishnah here, in Masechta Nazir, and then of course it would be, oy shedra, oy gulgoylus, because we have the words, al hashedra v'al gulgoylus, or is the correct girsa like the Mishnah in Olos, which says, hashedra v'hagulgoylus. Those are the two ways Rabbeinu Peretz learns the Gemara Shaila. But the bottom line is, whatever the girsa is, the question is, do you need both of these things together, or are they metame separately? Amar Rava said, Rava Tashma, come in here. We have a Tosefta in all his Perek Beis, which states, Shedra Shegirad Roiv Ilin Shebo. If you have a spinal cord where it was severed, most of the ribs, as Tosfos points out here in Divrei Maskil Toshma, that the Targum of Tzilois is Ilulin, which are ribs. So if you have a Shedra where Roiv of the ribs were severed, the halacha is tahayra, as the Rush explains, shebitel shem shedra mimeno, because the name of the shedra was taken off from it. We no longer refer to it as a shedra if the shedra has severed all the ribs from it. And let us point out the Tosfos, an important Tosfos in Divrei Maskil Tahayra. Tosfos brings two Gemaras in Masechet Chulin, one on Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis, and one on Daf Nun Beis. On Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis, he brings in the name of Shmuel that there's an equation between things that make an animal trefa and things that cause the conveyance of Tumah to go away. And the Gemara says there, v'chein l'treifa, that if this is a defect in the animal which will cause it to be a treifa, likewise that will remove the conveyance of the tumas nevela from the animal as well. And Tosfos makes this an equation, it would seem, throughout all the Hilchos Treifos. However, the Keren Ohr and the Sfasemis point out that the Rambam is cholek on this, and the Rambam Shita is that we do not say that all halachos of treifas, all dinim that make an animal treif, likewise remove the halacha of tumas nevela from the animal. But according to Tosfos Shita, that it's an equation. So Tosfos says that just like we find on Daf Nun Beis, in Perik Ela Treifas and Chulin, that if it's nishtabru, if it's broken, when we say here it's severed, as we're soon going to see in the next few lines, that there are two ways that the ribs can be severed. They can either be broken, and broken means that the stubs of the ribs still protrude. So then, the Gemara there in Chulin says, nishtabru beroiv shneit stud in treifa. Then you need most of both sides of the animal that the rib should be broken. But then Tosfos concludes, nekru, but if they were totally removed and you don't see any of the stubs of the ribs, then a filo beroiv tzad echad, that even if it's only on a majority of one part, flank of the, one section, one side of the animal, that is enough, that is considered trefa, and Tosfos equates that huadin, it will render the animal as not being able to convey the tumah, because then this shedra is not considered, as the Rosh says, shebitel shem shedra mimena, it is no longer considered a shedra. Continues the Tosefta in Olois, ubekever, if you're in a kever, if these bones are found in a kever, afilu mushuberes, even if they are broken with the stubs of the ribs protruding, oy mufurekes, or they are totally removed, but they are all together in the kever, then tumeya, then this does convey tumah, mipnei hakever, because the kever, as Tosfos and the Rosh point out, in Divrei Maskil the Tosfos is bekever, the hachi gemiri, and that's the same lashon of the Rosh. The Rosh says, shahakever mitzarfum. The kever unites them together, and therefore, for example, if a person was mahil, he went over the kever with the bones of the vertebrae, even if they are broken off or totally severed from the vertebrae, they're totally severed from the spine, the halacha will be that they do convey tumah. Continues the Gemara, Taimim Mishum Degirid, Why do I say that if it's not in a kever, the shedra, which has severed ribs, is tahira because it doesn't have a shame of a shedra anymore, but that's only girid because it was severed. Holoi girid, if it was not severed, it was attached, then tame, then it would convey tuma. Shmamino, what do we see from here? Oi shedra gugalus tani, because the Gemara thought, as Tosfos explains, that we're only dealing here with a shedra. There is no gulgoilus. And therefore the whole question is it connected or is it severed? But if it's connected, then the shedra alone will be metame. So l'chayra, we have an answer to our question that a shedra can be metame alone, and the vav means oi, or the correct girsa, as we explained, is like the girsa in our Mishnah, ala shedra v'al hagulgoilus, and it's oi, it's, you don't need both together. Zok the Gemara, no. Ha, like Tani. That is something you're deducing by yourself, but that's not written as Tosfos explains. It could be that we're speaking about widow Gugoylus here. Perhaps you do need both. The Tosefta is saying that even if I have both, but if I have a case where Girud, Roiv Ilin of the Shedra, then it doesn't help you that you're together with a Gugoylus, which you need, but since it's severed on the Shedra side, it doesn't convey Tumah. Hakamashmon dechigiratara. All we're telling you is a halacha concerning Shedra. The Shedra perhaps requires with a Gugoylus, but there's a din in Shedra that it only has a shame Shedra if it's connected. Idech teboyalach. That's a separate shaila. We're not getting into at all. There's no proof from here either way. It could be we're speaking about with a gugoylus, could be we're speaking about without a gugoylus. We're telling you a specific din in Shedra, when it retains the shame Shedra, and when it loses the shame Shedra. As far as whether it has to be with a gugoylus or not, that still remains a question, and we have no proof from this Tosefta. Continues the Gemara. Tashma, I'll bring you a different proof. Rabbi Yehudaim, Rabbi Yehuda said, Shisha Dvorim, Rabbi Kiva, Metame, V'chacham, Metame. There were six things in which Rabbi Kiva was Metame, and the Chachamim were Metaher. And these six things will be enumerated in the last few lines of this Amud. And there we will see that actually there's seven things, and the Gemara is going to explain why it says there's only six. But there was a machloikis between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, and the Rabbi Kiva in all of these six or seven in Yanim was Machmer, and he was Metameh, and the Chum were Metar. And then Rabbi Yehuda continues and says, V'chazur bar Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva had Charata, we will see on Amid Beis, they had Charata from six of the seven, but there was one of the seven where he maintained his position, as we will see, until the very end of his life. Umayse, there was a story. Sheviu kupa malei atzamis. They brought a box full of bones, the basic nesses, towards the basic nesses, shelter seam of the coppersmiths. Vinichu ba'avir. They left it in the air, meaning they did not put it under a roof. As the Rush points out here, around 10 lines from the bottom, v'inichu ba'avir makim she'en ala oil, shelo yitama nichnasim sham. Because they didn't, if they would have left it, for instance, under the roof of the Beis HaKnesses, then people going into the Beis HaKnesses would have become tamei from the oil. Because the roof there would be an oil over them and over the box of bones. And therefore they left it outside in the air, meaning that there was no oil over them. V'nichnas tudus harayfe v'chol harayfe mimoy. And the doctor tudus and all the other doctors came with him. And what was the purpose of them coming? As the Mefarish explains here, and the Rosh, the Mefarish says, Shahoya Bakiu Mumcha Imhemi Mesa Echad, Oy Mishne Mesim. He was trying to determine, are these bones from one mace, or are they from two mesim? Because as we will see, the Machlois in Rabbi Kiva the Chacham is, if you have a shear to be metame, but instead of coming from one mace, it's coming from two mesim, are the two mesim mitzareif to be metame or not? Rabbi Kiva initially was machmir until he had charata, and he also passed like the chachamim that they are not mitzarf, they're Torah. But initially he had the position that they are tame. The Rush says it a little differently, and he says, this is 8 or 9 lines from the bottom, Shahayu bikiyim lahakrabat sovim, shehemi shedvik ugoilis, ulahashrois etzim letzim leida imemi beis mesem imeis echad. So the Mepharish speaks about tudis harayfe, that he was a baki. Rush speaks about kol harayfim. The other doctors who were with tudis were also experts in figuring out whether these bones came from one mace or they in fact came from two mesem. The Amru, after they did their analysis, they came to the conclusion, Ein kan shedra mesech, we do not have a shedra from one mace, we have a shedra from two mesem. Tosfos brings down the end of the story, which our Gemara does not bring down, and this is found in Tosfos de Ramayschel Maisa, and it is 3 lines before it gets wide. Ubepirish Mishnayis Matzasi, Dehachis Ebesifri, Amru Hoyl Vieshka Matarin Matamin, Namud Laminyan. Let's get together. We know there's machlokes Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Pirish, Rabbi Kiva Chachamim. Shenachluk v'shedrim v'gadlus habor mishnei mesim. There's machlokes if you have a shedrim v'gadlus coming from two mesim, whether they can be mitzarf or not. And then Tosfos continues that hischilu me'Rabbi Kiva tchila v'tiar. They start from Rabbi Kiva, and to their astonishment, instead of Rabbi Kiva saying that even if it comes from two mesim, it is tamei, Rabbi Kiva said, oh, if it's from two mesim, if that is your medical analysis, that it's coming from two mesim, then vetir, it's tar. Amru loi, hoyol va'atuhu shayisim etamei teharta, yehu tyran. You were the one who were always machmer, that it could be mitzarif this year, even from two mesim, and now suddenly you change your mind and you say it's tar, then let them be tahar. So, let us continue to the end of this raya. Taima continues the Gemara. Taima de lekeshedra de mechada. The reason they wanted, there was a shaila here, was whether it's from one or two. And the reason they came to the maskana with Rabbi Kiva's approval, as Tosfos just quoted, his Pirush HaMishnah is there, that Taima de lekeshedra de mechada. There was no shedra from one. Ha ikka, oi shedra oi gugos de mechada. Nazir Megaleach alel. A Nazir would be Megaleach if there was at least a Shedra from one person. It seems from the Gemara over there, from the story, that they said, Ein kan Shedra mi mace echad. But if I would have found a Shedra from one mace, then it seems that both according to Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, there would be no Machlaikis, certainly after Rabbi Kiva had Charata. But if it's from one, there's definitely no Shaila, according to everyone, that it would be Metame. So you see that Shedra alone is Metame. The only problem here was that it was from two Mason. Shmami no, oi Shedra or Gugolis. So we have a Raya that you don't need a Gugolis. It's either a Shedra or a Gugolis. The Gemara says, no Raya. Let me boy Kamar. They were trying to say that there's certainly no reason to be Metame here. Loi me boy Shedra Gugolis to be Mace Echeleka. You certainly don't have grounds to be metame because we know for sure that there's no spine and head from one mace. So maybe it could be that all the Chacham and Rabbi Kiva, everybody holds you need from two, you need to be metame a Shedra and a Gugolis together. What the doctors were saying, not only don't you have a Shedra and a Gugolis from one mace, El afilo oi Shedra mi mace echad, oi Gugolis mi mace echad leka. You don't even have a Shedra from one mace, or separate a Gugolis from one mace. It's all mixed up from different mesim. But ain't a chanami, it's no proof that had you had it from one mace, it's no proof that a Shedra alone or a Gugolis alone would have been metame. It could be, if they could have proven that the Shedra was from one mace and the Gugolis was from one mace, ain't a chanami, you would have to be mitzarf those two together. It wouldn't be either or. Except he was saying that you don't even have one Gugolis or even one Shedra, even if one would be enough separate, you don't even have that. So Memela, we have no Raya from here. Tosfos asks a very strong question in Divrei Amaskel Taima in the middle of the Tosfos Sarchian. Ma hayu tzrichim laharis l'roifim ma shedrim meis echad oloi. Why did they have to show the doctors? If the bones were from one shedra or not, Taisa says, Mistama hoisma forexa mishuberis. It was probably severed from the spine. The ribs were severed. Because if the ribs were all attached together, then they could see that it was from one mace. There would be nothing to analyze. Apparently everything was broken apart, severed one from another, and they had to figure out, is it from one mace or not? And before, Taisa says, we learned that even if you have one mace, it's tahar if it's severed. So the Rabbeinu Yitzchak answers on this, as Taisa says, that it's speaking about that those bones had been in a kever, and a person was mahil on top of the kever, and we have learned that kever mitzarfon, that the kever is mitzarfdem even if they are severed. That is the case of our Gemara. So had it been from one, even though it was severed, the kever was mitzarif, and it would have conveyed tumah through tumas oil. And the doctor said it's not from one, it's from two. And the Gemara wanted to bring a proof that you see it alone, the shedra alone could be metame. And the Gemara is saying, Loimi boy, not only don't I have a gogoilus and a shedra from one person, I don't even have a shedra alone from one person. But it's no raya that you could have them separate. So Taisus comes out that our Gemara here is speaking about that the bones were in a kever, which was mitzarf, and even though they were broken off, it would be conveyed tumah through tumas oil. On this, the Karen Oira asks a very strong question. If so, if this is the Pshat in the Gemara, then why did they put the bones, we learned before they put it, Ba'avir? They didn't want to put it, as the Rosh says, under the roof of the shul, because then it would convey tumah through oil. How would it convey tumah from oil? Once it's outside of the kever, once it's in a box, and it's all severed, then there would not be a tumas oil under the roof of the shul. They could have put it under the roof of the shul. So l'chayra, it's very difficult. The Karen Oira remains with a question, according to Taisus Pshat, that the whole tumah here is through kever. Here we're talking about that they took it out of the kever. It's in a box. So why was there a problem that they had to leave it? Ba'avir. Continues the Gemara. Tashma, I'll bring you a different proof to this shaila, whether you need the shedra and the gugos together, or you need oy shedra, oy gugos separately. Tashma, this is a continuation of the brice that we learned before, that Rabbi Yehuda said that there are six things that Rabbi Kiva was matama, and the Chamur Taran, and Rabbi Kiva had charata, and later he agreed to the Chachamim. Tashma minyan, I'll bring you a proof from the minyan, from the amount of cases where we have a machlokes originally, initially between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. What are the six things that they're mecholikin? Rabbi Kiva matam v'chom matarin. That Rabbi Kiva was matam v'chom matarin. The first one is al aver min amei shabal mishnei mesim. If you have one limb, as the Mefarshim explained, that this limb was reconstructed so that a part of one, let's say one half of an arm, was connected to another person's half of an arm, and together I have a limb, and it's coming from two mesim. So the Chacham said you cannot be mitzarif, and this is not called an aver to be metamei, because it comes from two mesim. And Rabbi Kiva says he was initially machmir and said that it would convey tumah. The second machloikis is val aver minachai shebo mishnei bnei adam, or a limb from a living person that came from two people. And here we have a machloikis between the Bartanura, the Rav, and Rabbi Kiva Eger in Masechta Olos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav. Because the Rav says that the case is speaking about that you had half of a, let's take the same mushel, of an arm from one mace, and half of an arm got severed from another mace. And now they are together, are they mitzarf or not? That the Chacham hold they're not, and it's Torah, and the Rebbe Kiva said they're mitzarf, and it is Tomei. Asked on this Rebbe Kiva Eger, that if it's a half of a limb from one living person, we're speaking here not min a mace, we're speaking about Aver min a chai. If it's a half a limb from one living person, and a half a limb from another living person, then it doesn't have a shame Aver to begin with. Because you're speaking about a chatzi Aver from each person. That, says Rabbi Kiver, would not be mitzarf even by the person himself. let's say half of one arm and half of the other arm, each arm, a half of it, is not an aver. That would not be called an aver mechaya according to anybody. Rabbi Kiva would never have said that, even lechatchila, that it should be mitzarv. Elamai, Rabbi Kiva Eger learns, it's speaking about that an aver for one person living got severed. An aver from another person, a whole aver, got severed. And then from that aver that has a shame, it's called an aver for one person, half of that got further severed, and half of the other aver from the other person got severed. And then they brought them both together. On that, you have a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Chacham. The third machlokes is, Valchatzi kav atzav shebo mishnei mesim, and a half a kav of bones that comes from two mesim. I failed to point out that aver min achai in the case before is metamed, that's based on what we learned before in the Mishnah on Daf Memtes Amid Beis. Tosfos points out here in this third case, Valchatzi Kavatzav Shabbat Mishnei Mesim, that even though a Roiva Hakav is also metamed, but here we are speaking about what causes a Nazir to become Tomei so that he is Megaleach, and for Giluach of a Nazir we have learned, and for the all the procedures of a Nazir Tomei, that only happens if he's Metame to Chatzi Kav Atzomis. And now we have a question, if the Chatzi Kav Atzomis comes from two Mesim, is that Mitzdarfer? Not Rabbi Kiva said, yes, it is it Metame, and the Rabbanan argued and said it's not Metame. Val Revi is Dam HaBomishnaim, or you have a quarter of a lug of Dam that comes from two. And Tosfos over here explains in Divrei HaMaskil, Shebo Mishnei Mesim, that really, even if it would come in Meis Echad, the Chachamim are Mekel, because the Chachamim require, again, since we're speaking about Giluach of a Nazir, the Rabbanim require Chatzi Lug, not a Revius Lug. So why, we just said in the case before, that our Brisa here is speaking about L'inyin Giluach of a Nazir, so L'char L'inyin Giluach, you need a Chatzi Lug, not a Revius. So Tosfos answers, because since we're also mentioning Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva holds that a Nazir is Megaleach even on Revius Adam, he argues on the Chum, so that's why we want to say that Rabbi Kiva goes to such an extreme that he holds that a Nazir is Megaleach on a Revius Adam, you don't need Chatzi, and even if it comes Mishnei Mesim, the Chachamim argue on both points. They hold that Shnei Mesim are not Mitzdarf. It has to come from one mace. And Ein Echanami, even from one mace, Revius Adam wouldn't be enough. You need a Chatzi Kav before the Nazir, a Chatzi Lug before the Nazir would be Megaleich. The next case is, Val Etzim Kisoyrish Nechlishnayim, and a bone that is as big as a soira, that's nechleg lishnayim. Now the cases before were speaking about tumas oil, and this halacha is speaking about leinyan mago masa, and the shaila is, because leinyan, because the whole shaila of our Gemara before is concerning oil. Leinyan mago masa, it's metama fila etzim kisoira. So the question of bones of two mesim would be moot le'inyan mago masa, because le'inyan mago masa, even a bone as small as a barley is able to be tamis. So our whole machloikis till now between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan was in tumas oil. This particular case right here is nageya to mago masa, where there the shear of tuma is even etzim kisaira. Now what happens if that etzim kisaira was split in two? Does it convey tuma or not? And Rabbi Kiva holds that it does, and the Chacham hold that it does not. And finally, the last case, this will be the sixth case, Vahashedra Vagugailas. The Shedra Vagugailas, the Machloikas from Rabbi Kiva and Chacham is, if it comes from two mesim, is it Mitzarev, or do we require that it comes only from one mace? Rabbi Kiva holds even from two mesim is Metame, and the Chacham hold that it must come from one mace. And now, as we turn to the Nun Beis Amid Beis, comes the proof to our original Shaila. Does the Shedra and Gugolas go together, or is it separate? Ve'i sal kadat oi Shedra oi Gugolas, hani shiva havyin. And if you're going to say that wherever we have Shedra and Gagoyles, it's really two separate cases because the Shedra alone is Metame. And the Gagoyles alone is Metame. And here we'll be speaking about through Tumas Oil, Shedra Gagoyles through Tumas Oil is Metame. So then I really have seven cases here. Case number six is Vahashedra. And if you're telling me that that itself is conveys tumah, then the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chum will be there. Rabbi Akiva holds, even if the shedra was made from two people, the halves of two people's half a spine from two people would be mitzarf. The Chum will hold, you need a shedra from one person, and then would be a seventh machlokes about gugoyles. You have a head. You have a head that would half from one person, half to from another. Rabbi Akiva holds it's mitzarf to matame, and the Rabban hold it's not mitzarf. So if you say that Shedra and Gagoyles go together, so then the machlokes is, do you have to have the Shedra and the Gagoyles from one person? Or is it enough if the Shedra and Gagoyles are from two people, but you need Shedra and Gagoyles? But if you're going to tell me that it's oi oi, then it'll come out that I have one machlokes, Chacham and Rabbi Akiva in Shedra. I have a second machlokes, and in the numbers here will be number seven. My seventh machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham will be in Gagoyles. So L'chai would be a raya that it's Shedra v'gugos, and then the number six works out. Says the Gemara, four answers to this very strong question. Basically we're going to have two approaches to understand the four answers based on the Mefarish and the Rosh, and we'll go through the sugya, one mahalach according to the Mefarish, one mahalach according to Rosh. Simon, there is an acronym to remember these four different answers. Yochid, Shehu, Gilach, Ve'echad. Those are the key words of each of the answers. Let us begin with the first answer. The first answer is, Kol Heichad Apligya Le Rabim, that the number six are all the machlokes in between Rabbi Akiva and a majority, the Chachamim. La Fuke Etzim Kesaira, except for that machlokes of Etzim Kesaira, the Yochidu de Poligale. It's not the Chacham who's arguing Rabbi Akiva. It is one individual, the son we learned in the Braisa, Etzim Kesaira, a bone like a barley. Shenechel Gishnam was divided into two. Rabbi Akiva Metame, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri Metar. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri is Metaher. And here is the first word of the Simon, Yochid. In other words, the Mefarish explains very simply that smimikon, meaning erase it, delete it. This machlokes of etzim kesora, shenechel klishnayim, is it mitzarif or not, that you should remove from this entire brisa, leave the other six. In other words, shedra v'gugoyles could be two separate machlokes, because it's oy shedra, oy gugoyles. Now you get the number seven. Take away the case of etzim kesora, erase it, eradicate it from the brisa. Why? Because that's a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and a yochid, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and the other six are machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Those are the ones that stay in the brisa and take out that case. So then I could still say that Shedra and Gagoyles are two separate cases. That's how the Mefarish learns. The Rosh learns, no, leave it in. And actually, if you count up every detail, you will in fact have seven and not six. So what did the Brisa mean with saying that Shisha Dvarim Rabbi Akiva Metame? Shisha means there's one group. The big group is six. That group has six cases where there's a Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, the majority. You're right, there's one other case, a minority case that we're not really picking up, we're not mentioning it, but it's in the Brisa. That's a case where he argues with with one other Yochid, but in a general listing, we have six where it's a Machlokes with the Chacham. So the difference between the Mefarish and the Rosh is the Mefarish takes it out entirely, the Rosh leaves it in, but he says it's not part of the Klal, and that's why it's not counted in the initial counting of six. That's answer number one. Answer number two. The Iboy Yisema, or if you want, I will give you the second answer. Kik Tani Aver Min Ameis, Aver Min Achai Loik Tani. That we don't make the first two cases into two separate cases. It's a case of a vorib. In other words, the first case was Avram and Amei Shabbat Mishnei Mason. The second case is Avram and Achai Shabbat Mishnei Mason. So, Mishnei B'nei Adam. So instead of that, like, make a general thing, a vorim that come from two people, and the second word in the simon, Shehu, It's not that clear how that fits in, but it probably means that the Avram and Achai, Shehu Avram and Ames. In other words, it's not considered two separate categories. It's all one category, Avorim. Don't make it Min Ames, Min Achai, Shehu. It's all one under one umbrella of Avorim. If you have Avorim coming from two Mesim or coming from two Chayim, and that, so again, according to the Mefaresh, he says at the end of Divrei HaMaskil, the first Mefaresh, La'olam, Avol Avram and Achai, Smi Mikan, remove it. So he again goes with his Shita, that when the Gemara gives these Terutzim here, it's saying one of the seven have to fall away, and the one that's going to fall away is Avram and Achai. We're only talking about Avram and Ames. According to the Rush, no, it doesn't mean you totally take it away. It is present. However, it's considered part of Avram and Ames because we're speaking about limbs and we don't count them as two separate categories. V'boy same, a third teretz. Kiktani, which are counted in the six, kol hechad d'nazer megaleach ali ihuloi. If he's megaleach on his having been in the oil amase. Lafuke etzem kisaira deloi. This excludes the case of etzem kisaira, because that, as we explained before, is not a case of oil. That's a case of maga umasa, and that, according to the Mefarish, it would seem you would erase that case, and according to the Rush, it is there, but it's not part of the group. The group is things that all the other six cases are about oil. This seventh case is about magomasa. That's not part of the klal. The Kesef Mishnah writes that etzem kisar, that's metame from two mesim. According to Rabbi Kiva, that's only by masa, because after all, you're carrying both parts of the etzem kisara. But by magia, where he only touches half of the etzem and not both parts of the etzem, there, even according to Rabbi Kiva, it is not mitamim. And now the Gemara gives, we've already gone through yochid, shehu, and gilach. The main word in the third answer was megaleach, is a nazir megaleach. The nazir is on megaleach on the oil ames. He's not megaleach on Etzem Kisaira, and therefore Etzem Kisaira is not part of that group. V'iboy Seima, fourth teretz, Kik Tani Kolhecha the Hutterbe, which is considered part of the group according to the Rush. That's where Rabbi Kivat Charata Lafuke Revius Dam the Loi Hutterbe, except for the case of Revius Adam that comes from two Mesim. Rabbi Kiva did not have charata on that. He holds that even if it comes from two mesim, it is mitzareif. And therefore, again, it would seem, according to the Mefarish, you erase that case, and you only have six. According to the Rush, it is there. There's really seven, if you count them all up. But in the klal of those that Rabbi Kiva had charata on, there's only six. One of them, he did not have charata. The Amrle Rebbe Lebakapar, Loitishne Revius Dam, Bechazor. Don't include the case of Revius Dam in those cases where Rabbi Kiva had charata and agreed to the Chacham. Shahare Limud, Doish Rabbi Kiva, Biyadoy. As Taisa says, that, Shahare Limud, Orechu, Bepivshal Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva constantly would repeat this his entire life. He never had charata. Va'oid hamikra messiah. The pasuk itself is approved to Rabbi Kiva because it says about called nafshes meis lo yavi. The pasuk that speaks about the dam from meisim uses the words kadam hua nefesh. The nefesh is considered blood. So nafshes meis means the blood of the meis, and it says it in plural. So it would indicate that even two meisim could be mitzarf together. And on that, Rabbi Kiva never admitted to the chacham. Rabbi Shimon says, this is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Ad Yomav Hay Metame, which means all his days until his death, he was Metame. Taisa says, Kalaimer, Loi Chazabar, he never had Charata from this. Imishemes Chazabar any day. I don't know, in Yeshiva Shomala, when Rabbi Kiva was Nifter, whether he had Charata or not, I don't know. Tana, we learned, Hushcharu Shinov Mevnei Tani Yosef. he had said something wrong. As the Rosh says over here, Shalei Diber Beloshin Kavod Al Rabbi, Vahad Ka'amar Imish Meis Chazubai. That's not a proper way for a Talmud to speak about his Rebbe. I don't know if he may have had Charata after he died. Taisa says, V'nei She'ein Der Cheretz L'Dabar Al Rabbi Beloshin Zeh. V'yoshav Is Ane Yomim Rabbi. Many days he fasted, and that's why his teeth eventually became black from his fasting for uttering one casual, not respectful remark about his Rebbe. That is the onesh that he accepted upon himself. But meanwhile, we see that Rabbi Akiva never had charata in this, and therefore either it's erased from this brisa, or it is not part of the klal of the other six. Einach nami, there are seven cases, but and the Gemara is trying to say with all of these terutzim that you have no proof that Shedrin and Gros are considered one case. They could be considered two cases. Rabbi Akiva the Chacham are mechulik in both Shedra and Gugoyla separately, and we have given answers why the number six is still a correct number. Toshma the Gemara continues to bring another proof. The Sanya, we learned in the Brisa. The Mesar Zashas points out that really we have this in a Mishnah as well, in Idiyas Perek Aleph Mishnah Zayin and Perek Vav Mishnah Gimel. Why does it say the Sanya, says the Mesar Zashas? Because Einich Hanami, we have the Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in those Mishnayas. But we're going to have a few lines down. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Yeshua wanted to reconcile Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that they were not arguing in this matter, that we do not find in the Mishnah, and therefore the Gemara is quoting this Brisa. The Sanya we have learned in a Brisa, Beis Shammai Oimrim. Beis Shammai says, Roivat Samois, that which we say, that a quarter of a kav of bones is metame, through ol, through being on top of the rova kav, or being under the same roof of a rova hakav of bones, that has to be menat samim. As the Mefarish explains here, it comes from two or three limbs, but avaloi me etzem echad. It cannot come if you have a roiva of a kav, and it's all the weight of one limb. It's no good. It has to be oy mishnayim oy mishlosha, either from two or three limbs. Ubeis hillel oy rim, but according to Beis Shammai, you don't need, it would seem, what Beis Hillel requires, roiv minyan or roiv binyan of the person. You need two or three limbs. Ubeis hillel oy rim, no. Roiva menakvia, you need a roiva of a kav that is coming from the body of the person himself, the majority of the frame of the skeleton, either meroiv habinyan, either it is the majority of the frame, or meroiv habinyan, or it is from a majority of the number of bones that there are, as Tosfos brings down. We know there are 248 ramach evorim in a person, as we find in the beginning of Masechta Olos, and therefore a majority is, a half would be 124. So if I have 125, I have most of the count of bones. That is considered that's considered a chashiv amount to be metame. Now the halacha is that even if I don't have roiv akav, if I have roiv binyan or roiv minyan, it's metamim ba'oil. But when do I need roiv akav? If I don't have shleimim. If the bones are shalim, then even if they, and if they're shalim and it's roiv binyan or roiv minyan, even if it comes out somehow that it's not roiv akav, it would be metamim ba'oil. But if they're not shleimim, then they're only metamim ba'oil if I have roiv akav. So Taisa says he took these 125 bones, he whittled them down till they had little pieces of each of the 125 bones, and once you don't have the sholem bones, you need roiv akav in order to be metame bo'oil. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, said Rabbi Yeshua, Yicholani lasses, divri Beis Shammai, divri Beis Hillel ke'echad. I can make a pshara, I could figure out that really Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are not arguing. Why? She Beis Shammai, Omer Mishnayim, Omer Shloisha, that which Beis Shammai said two or three, he didn't mean any two or three limbs. He meant, Oy Mishnei Shukayim ve'yerchechad, either two shins and one thigh, as Tosfos explains in the last small line of Tosfos, that's what it meant by two or three bones. Two bones means two thin bones of a shin, which together, they're so thin, is like one bone, plus a yerech, a thigh, is two bones. Oy mishnei yerechayim v'shayik echad, or two thighs which are large, so they count as two, plus I have v'shayik echad one shin, so together I have three. So when they said two or three, they didn't mean any two or three bones, they meant two or three bones which will constitute the roif binyan of the person. So two refers to the case of two shekayim which are thin, and a yerech echad together, you have the two shekayim equals one, plus one yerech is two, or shnei yerechayim which are thick, and therefore they're two, and besides that, you have a shoik, that's the third one, that's what it meant when they Shammai said, Oy shnei mashleisha. So they were speaking about roiv binyan. Hoyel v'roiv, the Bach puts in the word, binyane shel adam, migoiva. If you put a person on his height is comprised of the two shins and one thigh, or two thighs and one shin. That constitutes most of the height of the person. So they spoke about roiv binyan, who most of these major bones in the majority of the standing frame. It has to be a chash of a thing from the body. Oy mi roiv binyan, as Tosfos explains, that's what you just said, Beis Shammai, and we're adding oy mi roiv minyan, or 125 bones, which are whittled down, and then you must have a roiva hakav, as we have explained before. So Tosfos says, Mara Merchadu like pligi. You, Beis Shammai, are speaking about roiv binyan, we agree with you. We're speaking about roiv minyan, you agree with us, we're not arguing, that's what Rabbi Yeshua said. How do you have roiv minyan? You have it not in most of the structure of the person. You can have it in the hands and the feet, because as Tosfos brings down, in each of the fingers of a hand, there each finger has six joints, and therefore in one hand you have 6 times 5 is 30, and you have four hands, between the hands and feet, you have four groups of 30. 4 times 30 is 120. And all you need is 5 more bones. So you don't need the roiv binyan, it's enough. Roiv minyan, even just using the hands and the ends of the feet, and a few more bones, you already have your roiv minyan. Shammai, this refers to not Beis Shammai, this refers to the elder Shammai Hazokin. He says, Oymer, Hafila etzim and Hashedra, Oymen Agogos. Even if you have one bone of the Shedra, or one bone of the Gogolos, that is enough. The Chachamim disagree. They say you need the Shedra, a whole Shedra, you need the whole Gogolos. So the Gemara now is trying to bring a riot, just like Shammai said. That's how Tosfos explains it. The whole machloik is here between Shammai and the Chacham is one bone enough, or do you need the whole? But if you need the whole, it's enough, a whole Shedra. And the Chacham would say a whole Shedra, oy, a whole Gogolos. Gemara says, no, that's no proof. Shiny Shammai, the Machmir. Shammai says, oy, because Shammai is Machmir. So they go to the extreme. They say, all you need is one, either the Gogolos or the Shedra. And from the Gogolos or the Shedra, all you need is one bone. But the Chachamim are going to do just the opposite. They're going to say, you need the whole, and not only do you need the whole of one, you need the whole of two together. So the Gemara says, if that's how you're learning, so let's make the proof just the opposite. Let's bring a riot to the other side of the Chakira. Time it to Beis Shammai to Machmir. The reason why Beis Shammai says that you need either or is because they go to the extreme L'chumra. One bone is enough, and not only is one bone is enough, you need either the Gogolos or the Shedra. You don't even need both the Matami. Hor Rabbonim, but the Rabbonim who are Mekel, then I would go to the other extreme. I would say, Ad the Ikris Shedra the Gogolos. Not only do you need the whole thing and one bone is not enough to convey Tuma, but even one whole Shedra is not enough. You need a Shedra and the Gogolos. So why don't we bring the Raya to just the opposite, that the Chachamim were the ones who said, Shammai was the one who's machmer the whole way, and the chacham are the ones who are makel the whole way, and therefore they need a whole shedra, and not only do they need a whole shedra, they need with it a whole gugoyles. The Gemara says, no, there's no proof that way either, because loy ad kan loy pligi rabbanu le Shammai ela batzem echad. The Asi Min HaShedra U'Min HaGolgolos. When are they arguing? They're arguing about one point. Is one etzim from the Shedra and the gegoilus enough or not. Aval hecha de isya be'enei, afil echadim mahoin. But once I have a whole shedra or a whole gegoilus, it could be the chacham hold that one is enough. As Tosfos explains, and the Meforshim explain, that the fact that the Shammai had to say oi is because Shammai thought to himself, I can be misunderstood. If I'm not going to explain exactly what I mean with oi, people are going to think that he wouldn't have the audacity to be so machmer, to go to an extreme that one bone is enough, and you don't even need the shedra and the gugulus. If I would have used the word shedra, vigulgulus, everybody would have understood. Okay, at least Shammai needs the shedra and the gugulus to matame. Then he says one bone from each is a chumra. But he would never be machmer to say one bone and shedra oigulgulus. So therefore, to make sure nobody makes that mistake, Shammai had to explicitly explain Hashedra oyagugos. Yes, I'm being machmer all the way. I'm saying one bone, and not only one bone, it's enough for one shedra alone. One bone from one shedra. Or one bone from one gulgulus, and that's all you need. I'm being machmer all the way. But the rabbanin say, if we are makel, we say that one bone is not enough. You need the whole thing. So if we say hashedra vihagugulus, like the mission in Oloi said, the Shedra and the Gugulus, we're not so afraid that people are going to think that we require this Chumra that it has to be both together. That we require that you must have both together. We're only arguing on that Chumra of Beis Shammai that one bone is enough. So we're saying, no, you need the whole thing. But once you need the whole thing, if we say Vav, we are not afraid that people are going to misunderstand. And we don't have to be explicit with oi. They'll understand that we're being makel in one area and one area only. Our kula is that you need the whole thing. One bone alone is not enough. But ein echanami, we're not being so makel that it's only metame if you have both the shedra and the gugulus together. We're not afraid people will make that mistake. So we will say the vav. But we also mean the oi, even though we didn't say it. Shammai had to explain the oi. Because people would never think that Shammai would be so machmer and do oi. So he had to speak it out. But by us, that we have one kula, that you need the whole shedra, you need the whole gugulus, we don't have to be so afraid that people will think that we mean and. If we say the vav, they will understand that the vav taka means an oi, even though we don't use the oi. So that's why the Gemara at the end comes out that you have no raya to the Shiloh either way.